When then did it fully crystallize in your mind that, in fact, this would not be, as you put it, an epidemiologically restricted health event?
Yeah.
That, in fact, it was going to become a pandemic, arguably without parallels in human history.
Yeah. It began to crystallize certainly within the first year as we were starting to see injection drug users and the sexual partners of injection drug users. You have to recall, Steve, that early on it was not clear whether the women who were getting infected were also themselves injection drug users. So there was still this concern that there's something about gay sex where you have, and the theories, which were some of which were actually true, that the abrasions of the rectal mucosa would allow the virus to get in, but you wouldn't really see it in a situation where you were having heterosexual sex. But then people would say, well, look, these women were getting infected. And the counter-argument was, yeah, but since they are hanging out with injection drug users, it's likely that they are also injection drug users, and they're not getting it through heterosexual sex, they're getting it through injection drug use. There was that period of several months of confusion there. Then we had the children of infected mothers getting infected. That didn't help out much with the heterosexual versus gay sex thing. The thing that started to really more crystallize for me the potential was when we started to have cases, some in Haitians. You remember the Haitians were supposedly one of the risk groups, an unfortunate delineation of them as risk groups. But I think they were the sentinel cases to our recognition, even though it was going on a lot in Africa, we weren't aware of it, of real heterosexual transmissibility, that there wasn't anything special necessarily about gay men and gay men's sex that was allowing it to be transmitted sexually, that it also could be transmitted heterosexually. And once it became clear from some of the Haitian cases, and then as we started to get more information from sub-Saharan Africa, then it crystallized in spades for me. In fact, what we did, NIAID, the institute that I direct, we together with the CDC, Jim Curran at the time, and Jonathan Mann, and Peter Piot, who was at the University of Antwerp in Belgium, established what was called Projet SIDA in Kinshasa, Zaire, which was then Zaire, which is now the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And we were seeing unequivocal, clear-cut, profound transmissions between men and women. And it was in that project of trying to get a grasp on the global epidemiology of HIV that it fully crystallized in my mind that now the potential is in essence unlimited.